Side Hustle Show 228, Facebook Advertising 101 for freelancers and bloggers. What's up? Nick Lober here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, because your boss doesn't own your free time. This week, we're diving into the art and science of Facebook advertising, which is a topic several guests have touched on in the past, but we've never really taken a deeper dive into how it all works and how to set up profitable campaigns for your business. Now, why is this important? Well, Facebook is closing in on 2 billion active users. So no matter what you're selling or where you're selling it, odds are your target customer or your target buyer is on Facebook. My own experience with Facebook ads is pretty limited. I've boosted a few posts and run a couple other small campaigns, but I've really only scratched the surface of what you can do with Facebook ads in terms of the testing, in terms of reach, and in terms of scale. For that reason, I invited Camila Gornia on the show from CamilaGornia.com. She's a marketing strategist and a Facebook ads expert who helps entrepreneurs scale up their online business. She knows the platform inside and out, and she walks me through some of the prerequisites you should have in place before you ever spend your first ad dollar, the kinds of offers she sees working well for bloggers and freelancers, and how you can segment the massive Facebook audience to reach just your target customers. Notes, links, and a free downloadable highlight reel from this conversation are at sidehustlenation.com/Camila. That's K-A-M-I-L-A. Before we dive in, let me take a moment to thank today's sponsor, DesignCrowd.com. DesignCrowd is the crowdsourced design marketplace for logos, business cards, website, product packaging, pretty much anything else you can imagine. I use DesignCrowd for the cover design of my latest book, Buy Buttons, which has been selling really well since its launch 6 months ago. I received 40 different cover designs from a dozen different designers all around the world, and it was really cool to see the variety of concepts that came back, and then get to work one-on-one with the designer I like best to tweak and modify the cover that ultimately became the winner. You can see all the submissions for that project, good, bad, and ugly, at designcrowd.com/hustle. And as a Side Hustle Show listener, that link, designcrowd.com/hustle, will also give you up to $100 off your next design project. Or you can use promo code HUSTLE to claim that offer at checkout. I'll be back with my top takeaways from this chat with Camila after the interview. Ready? Let's do it.
Yeah, you have to have a strategy first, because a lot of times people actually use Facebook ads as the strategy when it's not supposed to be the strategy, right? Facebook ads are a traffic source. It's how you get people to see a thing that you have. But what is that thing, and how does that play into everything else that you're doing? So you need to be clear on that first, and then see Facebook ads as, you know, the easier, faster traffic source for getting people in there. So that's the first thing that you need to know. The second thing is, well, you have to have a place to send them. So you need to have some kind of a landing page, some kind of a offer, free offer that you typically, I mean, you know, there's many, many ways of running ads and where you should run ads, but ideally you would have something where you can collect people and get people onto your list, because that's typically what I recommend for people.
Okay.
And then you have to have a business page, Facebook business page, because you can't run ads without it. So that's another one.
Okay. So you need to have, does your page have to have like a certain number of likes, or is it just like, you just have to create the page?
You just have to have a page. That's it. Any page is eligible for running Facebook ads.
Because it'll say like sponsored by the name of the page.
Right. I mean, a lot of people, that's how they grow their pages. So, you know, if you're starting from scratch, you have zero people, a lot of times people are going to run some ads to grow the page. Now, I don't typically recommend you doing that. Like page-like ads, those are not very much recommended for me.
Well, is that just because the organic reach isn't there?
No, it's just a waste of money, because you're going to get people liking your page regardless when you run any kind of ad, because there's going to be a little button. Whenever you see ads, there's always a little button on the side that says like page. So yeah, people are inevitably going to like your page if they like what you have to share. So why not grow your list as the main objective, which is how you're going to reach more people, versus trying to get people to like your business page. And then none of them are probably going to see your stuff anyways. So you're going to have to continue paying Facebook to get them to see your stuff, versus via email, they're going to see your stuff. I mean, hopefully.
Okay. No, that's good to hear. Like, don't waste your money on page like ads, because it'll happen organically over time or through these other ad types. We'll get into the different types of ads that you can run. Okay. So the prereqs were a strategy behind what you want to do. And maybe we'll get into a couple of different examples of those, maybe from clients of yours, a landing page or an opt-in offer and a Facebook business page. All of those are free or very affordable to set up. Maybe on the strategy side, what are you seeing some people do, maybe if they're in the freelancing space?
I like to go backwards, right? So in order for you to freelance client or just any kind of client, what needs to happen right before that happens? So typically somebody has to get on the phone with you and you have to tell them about this offer. So I just go backwards and then start to see, okay, in order for this person to even become aware that you exist so that they're interested in talking to you, what has to happen? And sometimes people run ads directly to a phone call, like, hey, I will do this for you, schedule a call with me, and then we can talk about doing that. Now, those ads tend to be really expensive because these people don't know who you are yet. They don't really trust you. So for every schedule, every booking call you make, it can be, I mean, upwards of $100+ per lead.
Whoa.
So that's, yeah, it's, I mean, sometimes it's less, but a lot of times it's around there because why would anyone want to schedule a call with someone they have no idea they've never heard of, right?
Okay.
It's a huge commitment from them. And they know they're probably going to be sold. So why? Unless you already have lots of great testimonials and, you know, just social proof up the wazoo, then great. The biggest thing that I typically recommend for anybody is having some kind of a free offer and getting them onto the list. And then through that email sequence, eventually asking them to hop on a phone with you. So that could be something easy like an ebook, a checklist, some kind of a toolkit, a sweat file, a quiz. Sometimes webinars can work too. Those tend to be a little bit more expensive because they require more commitment from people in order to attend or actually want to sign up for something like that. So it's an option. I would use it later in the funnel typically, but the easier it is for people to sign up, the less objections come up for them to sign up. Because objections also still come up when it comes to free stuff. We are going to ask ourselves, like, do I really have the time to look at this? Do I really want to give somebody my email address and have them bombard me with emails so I can get this thing? Is it worth it? So there's still those thoughts that kind of come up. So the more specific the opt-in offer is and the more instant gratification it is, it tends to perform better. So that's what I recommend for ads. I mean, for anybody that wants to get clients.
Okay. Any example that's been working well on that lead magnet front?
I mean, any of the ones that I mentioned, like checklists, a lot of times can be really effective. Quizzes can be fairly effective too if they're done well. There's a lot of testing that needs to be involved. There's been a lot of conversation about quizzes actually. So I just want to make sure people know that it's not the easiest thing to do because you have to do a lot of first work, but it can be really effective, especially if you're looking to build out a like passive side of your business. That can be a pretty good one because you can then upsell people in a congruent way to the next thing. But yeah, like short ebooks can work. It's not even so much about what type it is, it's how specific is it and how fast can it deliver an outcome that you're looking for. So that's typically what's going to drive the effectiveness of the actual lead magnet.
Okay. So for a time I was doing like freelance book editing, so I could put together a cheat sheet of, you know, here are the 7 deadly grammatical sins that will make people leave you a 1-star review or something.
Oh, and that's wonderful. That's awesome. Yeah.
And then you have that as the opt-in offer and then try and have an email sequence behind that that says, well, you know, what's your book about? What stage in the publishing process are you? Or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's exactly how I'd approach that. I mean, there's a couple other things you can do depending on how fast. I mean, sometimes you can get people on the phone immediately. You actually don't have to have them go through a full sequence before you invite them for a phone call. So a lot of times you can actually invite them for a phone call immediately after the opt-in because some people are action takers. They know what they want. And it just happens to, the ad happens to come across their newsfeed. So they sign up for it, but they're actually ready to hire somebody like you. So you might want to give that opportunity for the fast action takers. And then for people that don't take you up on that opportunity, have a sequence that talks to them a little bit more, gets them to see the problem and gets them to want the solution and then offer the solution, which is typically, hey, let's talk about working together.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. How about on the blogging front? Like if I wanted to run Facebook ads for Side Hustle Nation, what would that look like? And I guess I still need to go through the prereqs of like having a strategy behind it first.
Right. So I'm like, what's the goal behind that? Why would you want to do that?
Yeah. I don't know. Because if you were a blogger, well, like a couple of weeks ago we had Jacques Hopkins on the show. He's selling a piano course, teaching people how to play piano online. And he said, hey, I tried Facebook ads. It didn't really work for me. AdWords is where it's at for my business right now. But I'm curious if he's trying to eventually funnel people into his course. He didn't like it because it was interruption marketing, or it's like people weren't necessarily on Facebook to solve that specific problem. They were there to look at, see what their friends are up to.
Yeah, and that's true. It really kind of varies. I mean, nowadays people use Facebook kind of differently, I would say, than they used to because of how much is going on with Facebook. So people started using Facebook in the beginning to connect with friends and family, and many are still using it for that purpose. But because Facebook has, you know, Facebook is integral to our lives at this point. You can log into any platform with Facebook account, right? So Facebook is a part of everything, basically every other site that you use. So different things tend to come up in your newsfeed. Having ads come up is pretty normal for people at this point. So it's not as disruptive as you think, as long as it's congruent and what you're saying in the ad isn't like completely just out of context. And, you know, it makes sense based on the audience. So I've seen ads work really well for all kinds of industries. If he, using him as an example, let's say that he was running ads. Well, it kind of goes into what were the ads running to. With Google, because the intent is I want to buy, or I want to, you know, they're much more closer to buying than potentially sending traffic to a video sales letter might be more effective, where people actually might be buying. And this is something that affiliate marketers do very often. They use Google AdWords, they send traffic to a page, a very simple page that's just a video newsletter or a video sales letter. And at the end of that, it's pitching some kind of a lower cost offer. And then people are getting into a funnel. That converts pretty well for many people. With Facebook, it's a little bit trickier to do that. It can be a little bit more expensive. And a lot of people don't do that, quite frankly. So we go with the, hey, opt in for free. We're leading it free when it comes to Facebook, typically. I don't recommend running ads to an offer directly, because it's not likely to have as much, it's not going to be as effective.
Yeah, unless it's like a physical product.
Right. Physical products, e-commerce, completely different story. Okay. but yeah, and with Facebook too, I mean, there's boosting posts, there's running video ads, you know, there's different ways to approach this. So it really depends on the kind of industry and what services you're selling, or if it's a course or whatever. But we lead with free typically with Facebook, unless it's an audience that's already been introduced to you and they already know you and they might be interested in the product.
Okay. Tell me about the targeting stuff, because I know you can target interests and that seems pretty broad. I'm not entirely sure how Facebook like knows what I'm interested in based.
Oh, they know.
I know they know, but it's kind of creepy. But is there a keyword or like search component to like AdWords, or is it entirely kind of like psychographic demographic?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. There's actually a couple of ways to approach audiences. So one option is to find and just literally tell Facebook, hey, I want to target women between the ages of this and this who live in the United States who have an interest of Tony Robbins, for example. So you can target that. You can get even more specific. You can say they like Tony Robbins and they are entrepreneurs and they make more than $75,000 per year. So you can be pretty specific with it.
They know all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they partner with a lot of other businesses. Like I said, they partner with a lot of financial companies. So they tend to be able to see, based on your behavior and based on just what you share everywhere else, they're able to often see potentially what you might be earning and just...
Yeah, you get an estimate of the income. Okay, I understand like, okay, this person liked the Tony Robbins page. Okay, clearly they're a fan. So that part makes sense. But the other stuff, like, okay, they're extrapolating some data.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I love it as an advertiser. It's great. Okay. I think it's cool. Yeah. So that's one of the options that people do. And this is something that people mostly use to grow their list. If you're starting with a small list, you want to grow, this is where you're going to start. Then the other thing that you can do is creating custom audiences. So this is where you're creating basically lists of warm people. So people that have either visited your site before, people that have seen some of your Facebook videos, people that have signed up for your email list, and you can actually export that list of emails or phone numbers and into Facebook. So that's a really good thing, especially if you're running offers, like actual paid offers to people. That can be effective because these people know who you are. So they trust you. They are more likely to convert. So that's a really good one. And then from there, you can create a lookalike audience from any audience that you create. And this is where it's like the coolest thing. So especially nowadays, they've made this so good. Basically what happens is Facebook is able to, you're telling Facebook, hey, I have this audience created here, and I would love to have another audience created that looks like this audience. They have the same kind of common threads, but isn't those people. So a lot of times what happens is people will upload their email list or tell Facebook, hey, these are the people that saw 50% of my video. Find me more people in the United States or in Canada or wherever that also are like those people, because typically there's going to be very specific characteristics that these people have. And then that lookalike audience is potentially going to respond favorably to your freebie, your offer, your sometimes paid offer too. I'll say, I mean, sometimes I run ads directly to a paid offer if it's a low cost offer. And I'll do that with a lookalike audience, and they tends to convert pretty well, typically in positive ROI.
Okay, so this is kind of a way to amplify your reach. Say maybe I can import my email list of 500 people, and then Facebook is going to scrub what they know about that data and say, okay, we have an idea of, you know, other people who look similar based on all the data that they have. Okay.
So ideally it'd be 1,000 people plus.
Okay. And so instead of just hitting those 1,000, now you can open that up to all of the however many billions of people in the Facebook universe.
Right. Basically. And you basically just tell Facebook, like, listen, because we have to select the country based on the lookalike. So United States or Canada, and it's just one country per lookalike.
Okay.
But it can be very effective. But we still have to remember that this is a cold audience. It's not people that know who you are. So we have to treat them. We have to be aware of this. So if you have a big program or like you're asking people to hop on the phone with you immediately, it's still a cold audience. They might perform a little bit better, but it's still a cold audience. So we still have to take them through very specific steps, especially if we're wanting them to sign up for like a high level program or something.
Okay. Well, this is a really important point regarding the custom audiences. So as soon as this recording is done, as soon as this podcast is done, as soon as you get to a safe place to get back in front of your computer, create the Facebook page for your business. If you haven't already, that will kind of enable your advertising account. And then go to your website, install their tracking pixel. Because even if you don't want to run Facebook ads today, having that pixel installed, it's going to start building that custom audience of everybody who's visited your page. So if you want to run an ad to warm traffic, or, you know, these people who've at least heard of you or have a higher chance of remembering who you are, you know, that pixel, my understanding is that's like kind of the standard way to do it. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. What's next? Like the last time I made a Facebook ad, it was like, what kind of ad do you want to run? Do you want to run an ad that's optimized for clicks, for conversions, for engagement, for video, for boosted posts, for page like, and it was really overwhelming. And so I think I just ended up picking clicks or something. And I don't know if that was the smartest thing to do, or at one point I ran a video engagement ad. I don't know if that's still a thing. And then I found out, well, an engagement is somebody who watches for 3 seconds. I was like, well, that doesn't seem very engaged. So I don't know. Like, how do you gauge what type of ad to pick?
Yeah. So again, we're going off of like what your goals are. So where are you sending the traffic? A lot of times the first step for people into the world of Facebook ads is boosting a post. Boosting a post is actually the same exact thing as running an engagement objective ad. So you're telling Facebook that you want people to engage with your post, and that could be as little as just clicking on it. It could be liking it, sharing it, commenting on it, whatever. If it's a video that you've uploaded to Facebook page and you're boosting it, it's the same thing as video view ad. So you're paying per 3 second, sometimes 10 second views, basically. So same thing. So okay. It's engagement.
I feel a little bit better about 10 seconds, but
yeah, it's still going to give you 3 seconds, how much you're paying per 3 seconds, but you can tell Facebook you want 10 second views. But
okay.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Well, how do the costs vary between all those? Are they similar, like per action? Or I guess at the end of the day, it goes back to the, okay, what's the goal? I want somebody to opt in for my thing.
Right, exactly. So if you want somebody to opt in for your thing, then you want to be running conversion ads. So getting conversions on the site. And that means you have to have another pixel installed on the thank you page. So whatever people see after opting in, that page has to have a conversion pixel. So it's basically the same thing as a regular pixel. You just have to add a little tiny extra snippet of code to that pixel that says lead or complete a registration. It's really simple. Facebook has made it very easy to follow the steps to make that happen.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, so you're running conversion ads. That's typically what I recommend. If you ever want to have a conversion on any kind of site that you're sending traffic to, then you want to track that conversion. That's why Facebook is going to know that that's what you want, and it's going to send you the right people who are most likely to actually take that action on your site.
Okay.
Yeah. So traffic, you know, a lot of people use traffic, and that can be okay. It's just, do you want traffic or do you want leads?
Right. Well, one of the most recent ad that I ran was for a post of mine. It was a heavily monetized affiliate post, basically. It was a giant list of Udemy courses to coincide with their New Year's promotion. So this is in January. And it, you know, I ran a boosted post, and then I think I ran a couple other image ads. And I think I optimized for clicks, or I said, you know, I want this to be like a click ad. And they ranged from like, you know, 50 to 75 cents, I think. I'll go back and look at the numbers for those. But it's like, should I have done a post engagement, you know, thing instead? Because as an affiliate post, all the conversions are taking place offsite. So I don't have a way to embed that pixel or track those. So that's a little bit trickier.
Okay, so it's not your website, so you don't have control to the back end of that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then I would just do a traffic ad, because you want to send as much traffic to that page as possible. And my thought is that it's probably last refer. So if somebody just saves that page, eventually they might convert. So hopefully, and hopefully that, you know, the affiliate tracking code that you use, like hopefully it's just going to stick around on that page, even if they don't buy immediately, unless they use somebody else's affiliate link. But yeah, I would just use traffic, because at that situation, you want the most amount of people to go to that page so that they get tracked.
Okay. Yeah, the boosted post thing is...
That's just engagement. Yeah, it's just engagement though. So it's for social proof a lot of times, but it's not necessarily going to give you link traffic.
Okay, that's fair. Are video ads hot? Is that the go-to thing right now, or is it still like an image?
Yeah, they're very hot. But not as many people still use it. The problem with video ads is that it introduces a whole new thing. Whereas with an image ad, we know that it's either the copy or the image, or, you know, when it comes to click-through rates, at least.
Yeah.
It's much simpler. Like, we know what might be happening. We can just change out the image, test different images. With a video, a lot of times, you know, you make the video, you like spend a whole day, or maybe sometimes recording this video, it's perfect, it's great, finally, and then it doesn't convert. But we don't know why it doesn't convert. So we can test the copy above the video, but then we don't know if it's the actual video, if people just don't think it's engaging enough to want to keep watching, if the lighting isn't very good, so they don't want to keep watching, is it not capturing people's attention, is the context of what you're talking about just not good enough? Like, there's so many additional things that are coming into play when it comes to video ads, but it can be very effective for especially building authority and growing that know, like, and trust factor, which can be really good. So there's always pros and cons to everything. It's definitely something that people are using a lot nowadays, though.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think where I see the video ads, or at least the ones that I stop, are the ones that have done the closed captioning. It's like, I don't want my phone to start making noise. But right. If you've closed captioned it, okay, I'll see what you have to say. So that's, I would probably consider an important thing to do. If you're going to do video, you know, make sure you have the text overlay on there.
That's very important.
Is there a rule of thumb? Where, like, oh, it's got to be less than 30 seconds, or, you know, somebody's going to watch 8 minutes or something?
There's really no rule. It really isn't. There are videos that are going to perform really well under 1 minute, under 30 seconds, some that are performing really well under 20 minutes. So it doesn't even matter so much in the time. It matters on how engaging the video is and just how congruent is the next step. So that's why videos are a little bit tougher, because it varies so much.
Yeah. What's a typical cost for a conversion? Like, if, you know, to go back to that freelancer example or that blogger example, like, if I'm trying to get somebody to opt in for a thing, how much am I going to pay for that?
It depends on the industry, right? So you have to know how much you're willing to spend based on your close rates a lot of times. So if you're doing something very, very specific and very niche, you know, you might have to spend more money because those people are going to be very targeted. Whereas for somebody that maybe like health and things like that can be a lot of times a lot cheaper because it's just more relevant for people in terms of a broader range of people. So it varies.
Oh, really? That's surprising. I would have thought the opposite. I would have thought, because like a keyword, I don't know, it would be the opposite on Google, I think.
Yeah. Well, on Google, yeah, it's the opposite. But here, it's kind of, again, it depends, because it depends on the audience that you're targeting too. So what I'm saying, the context, you know, what you're sharing, it's going to be more effective for people because then they can share it with others. And, you know, it's just going to be more effective from that sense. But if your audience targeting isn't right, then you're going to pay a lot of money regardless. So audience targeting is perfect, then you can pay not super a lot. I mean, again, it's going to depend on the offer itself. So it can range, I mean, anywhere from, you know, some of our clients get less than a dollar per lead. And that's pretty uncommon, but it's really awesome. Typically, we see for an instant gratification opt-in, typically we see anywhere, I mean, up to $5 typically. But again, you know, if you're a lawyer looking for lawyer clients in your own firm that you're starting, then maybe paying $10 to $15 per lead is actually a great deal for you. So that's why it's kind of, it's situational.
Yeah, totally. Totally depends on what a lead is worth to you. And if you don't know your numbers yet, then you kind of have to start small and test and see how this is going to work, how the different audiences convert versus going guns blazing and spending a ton of money.
Right.
And like, well, that didn't pan out so well. Okay. How about on the image ads? Is there a rule of thumb for what types of images that you've seen work well, or what to use? Like, okay, I've got the strategy in place. Like, I feel confident about this targeting. And now comes the part of like, I actually have to make this like graphic. And that's a whole another element to it.
So the good news about this is that if you're not a graphic designer, it's okay, because you can actually just use other images. Like, Facebook actually provides this whole stock photo library, so you can use stock photos and they actually perform really well. It's actually been performing better a lot of times than a nicely designed image a lot of times, because it's blending in more in the newsfeed, so it doesn't jump out and doesn't look like an ad as much. Huh. But again, the best way to know is to test. So it doesn't have to be complicated. It just has to be an image that's compelling. It doesn't look like a total stock photo where it's like a family smiling. Yay. You know, that's like super obvious. No one's going to want to click on that. So it has to look natural. It has to look like an actual photo. If you can use a photo of yourself or something doing something fun, like, that's great, especially when it relates to your business. That's always a good idea.
That's interesting. They provide their own stock images, and I'm sure they have a whole boatload of data on, well, these ones perform well. So that makes sense. Okay. I've heard people getting their ads disapproved or rejected because they have too much text on the image. Is that a rule?
Yeah. Ideally, you would have less than 20% text. It can be kind of bended because your ads are still going to run if it's more than 20%. It's just going to not be shown to as many people. But if the majority of your image is text, Facebook is just not going to run your ad. So Okay. The less text you can use on the image, the better.
So you still get text, like you still put a headline for the ad and you still put a description for the ad. It's more just like
the image itself. Yeah.
Would you repeat the headline, or is it like a different?
I would say something that, like, whatever you think is going to captivate people's attention, like what's going to capture their attention, because people are going to look at the image first. They're going to look at image first, then they're going to look at the headline, then they're going to look at the copy. So you want to use the image. So I would use maybe calling people out, like, hey, entrepreneurs, or going right into the topic of what it is. So like, fix your funnel. Oh, that's a business name.
Is your family sick of your piano playing? Here's how to, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you could, it varies. You can really say anything as long as it's capturing people's attention, because that's the image. That's what the image is going to do.
Yeah. Does your garden look like this? Here's how to fix it. Buy my gardening tips. Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of the next step of this is, if you have a finite audience that you're running these ads to, one thing that I've kind of been confused about is, you know, you can't keep showing them the same ad, the same offer forever. Otherwise, you know, like, okay, now we've seen it and we just keep scrolling. And so I'm curious, if you have something that works, what's your process like to continually find new audiences, new relevant audiences to show that to? Or is it like, oh, this campaign is done and we got to come up with something else?
Well, typically, unless you have a big budget, and if you're targeting people, like, ideally your audiences would have at least 100,000 people in them, like potential audience. It's okay if it's less than that, but ideally it's over 100,000.
You think that big to start out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of times it's even bigger. Well, oftentimes. Wow. Yeah. If it's smaller, you're just going to typically pay more money, because it's more targeted. So again, it varies. The best way to know is to test it. I'm just using generalities here.
Okay. No, I'm like learning so much. I'm never going to look at a Facebook ad the same way again.
Yeah. I mean, Facebook ads are all testing. It's like, for one client, it's going to be really tiny audiences are converting super well. For another, it's like really tiny audiences are converting really poorly. So you just have to test it for yourself. That's the best way to know, because we just have to test it.
Well, so my hesitation with going something that big is like, well, these people can't possibly be targeted because it's broad.
Right. So unless you have a big budget, it's going to take a little while before you exhaust the audience. And Facebook actually will tell you how many times your ad has been seen, so what the frequency is. So okay. Unless your ad has been seen 5 times plus, at that point, I would stop the ad and like use like another audience. But a lot of times you can use other, you know, there's so many people out there in the world. You know, you can just try find new audiences to target and you should be fine. But unless it's been 5 times plus, it's okay if people are seeing it a couple times, because sometimes we just need to see a couple times to sign up for it and people are still going to sign up for it. So that's typically what we use. And if you've been running a same ad and then it's converting super, super well, and then all of a sudden it jumps like significantly and it just stays high for a while, then that means the audience is probably pretty exhausted. So I would stop that ad and test a different audience or a different image, different copy, different positioning for the same offer.
Yeah, it's an intimidating platform because you could split test on every level. You could split test the image, the headline, the audience, you can go really, really granular with this stuff. And I imagine they have like daily budgets in place so you don't go crazy or you don't break the bank on day one or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can set daily budgets, you can set lifetime budgets. Yeah, it's very easy to manage from that sense.
Once you have something up and running, is it still something that you're managing, you know, daily, checking the numbers, checking the performance?
Yes, you have to. Ideally, you're checking it once per day, twice per day is ideal in the beginning, especially if you have a higher budget. If your budget is $5 per day, you can check it once a day because it's going to take a little while for you to get some traction.
Okay.
If it's $25 per day plus, you can check it twice a day. And then the more you kind of spend, the better idea it is for you to keep an eye on it so that it doesn't spend all the money and then you only got one conversion and you just spent $100 per conversion, right? So you just want to keep an eye on that and then just make sure that you're being aware of what's going on and taking kind of fast decisions, especially when it comes to higher budgets per day.
Yeah, well, this is, and it's going to take some time to work people through your offer, especially if you got to warm people up before you ever see a return. So you might be, okay, I'm going to run it for a week or 2 weeks, and I'm going to turn it off, see how this audience pans out, and then, you know, go back to the drawing board. But this is really cool stuff because this is the same basic strategy that I was using with my shoe business. And of course, that was with AdWords at the time. But it was like, instead of waiting for the organic traffic to roll around, it's like, hey, I could get traffic right away. I just have to pay for it. Same story with Facebook. And if you have some back end, if you got something to sell, you know, here's a way to get in front of people proactively rather than waiting for them to find you. So Camila, thank you for joining me today. It's CamilaGornia.com. And I understand you've got a special offer for Side Hustle Nation.
Yes, I do. So if you actually go to CamilaGornia.com/Side Hustle Nation, I have an ebook for you. And it's basically perfect for you if you are fairly new to Facebook ads and your ads haven't really been getting great results. So I basically outline 3 money leaks you probably have in your Facebook ad campaign right now and how to fix it. So I dive into basically how to make sure your ads are going to be performing and starting kind of from the foundationals up. So that's what I have for you.
I will definitely be checking that out. CamilaGornia.com/Side Hustle Nation. We don't want money leaks in our Facebook ad bucket. We got to plug those holes. So very cool. Camila, thank you so much for joining me. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Yeah. So my number one tip is to start with the end in mind. And I talked about this a little bit, but when it comes to strategy for marketing or Facebook ads or anything that you're doing, you want to make sure that you're not just going with, okay, this seems like a cool idea, I'm going to do it, but how does it all play a part in the ultimate goal that you want to achieve? And then work backwards. That's typically going to get you faster results than doing otherwise.
Start with the end in mind. Stephen Covey strikes again. I like it. Thanks so much. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you.
This edition of the Side Hustle Show is brought to you by LoanSigningSystem.com. This is a website and online course created by a pair of Side Hustle Show alumni, Mark Wills and Roman Rosario, who you heard in episode 215, which at press time is actually the most downloaded show in the history of the podcast. In that episode, we talked about how they built the side business of Loan Signing System using actually Facebook ads at the beginning to validate the idea, but we didn't spend a ton of time on the process of actually becoming a loan signing agent. In part because I didn't want the episode to turn into a giant infomercial for them, but now that they're back as a sponsor, infomercial it is. So loan signing agents are the people who help walk homebuyers through that big stack of paperwork they need to sign when they close on a mortgage. And now those appointments can take 1 to 2 hours, but they typically pay $75 to $200, with $150 being a pretty standard fee from what Mark tells me. And the cool thing is, you really don't have to go hunt for clients. After you get your name in a loan signing database or two, the work comes to you. You can take it or leave it depending on your schedule. To learn more, visit loansigningsystem.com/sidehustle. That's loansigningsystem.com/sidehustle, and you can use the coupon code SIDEHUSTLE, all one word, to save 10% off Mark's course. All right, my top takeaways from this call with Camila. Number one, strategy first, ads second. There's a certain level of infrastructure you have to have in place before you can really take advantage of Facebook ads, unless you're doing it like me as an affiliate. You need a place to send that traffic, you need a system to capture emails, and you need a lead magnet to give away in exchange for those emails. But beyond that, you need a system to convert those new email subscribers into customers. What's a new subscriber worth to you? Otherwise, you're just list building for the sake of list building and padding Mark Zuckerberg's wallet. Takeaway number two was, you don't know until you test. One of the ads I ran for that Udemy post that I talked about had a significantly higher cost per click than any of the others, so I just paused it and let the other ones continue to run. But you never know until you test it out. Maybe it would have had a cost per click half of the other ones and be like, well, shoot, this is the winner. I'm just going to run with this one. But you can start small, like a few dollars a day, to see what's working and what's not. I had no idea Facebook had their own library of stock images to use. I think that was really cool. And I was really surprised to hear Camila say that the sweet spot for an audience was at least 100,000 people. That was like really broad for me, or sounded really broad. But you can get there by creating your own demographic targeting, or you can use the lookalike tool against your existing email list or website traffic. Super cool stuff. And takeaway number three was to make a compelling lead magnet that delivers that quick win. What nagging pain or problem can you solve immediately for your target audience that's going to build trust and endear you to them in such a way that they'll pay attention to whatever you have to say next? So I'm percolating on what that might be for myself, and encourage you to do the same. Once again, all the notes and links from this episode, plus a free downloadable highlight reel with all of Camila's top tips, are at sidehustlenation.com/Camila, K-A-M-I-L-A. That's it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of the Side Hustle Show, where you'll meet an entrepreneur, actually a friend of mine, who turned his part-time podcast into multiple streams of income. I'll see you then. Hustle on.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.